We're talking about praying in tongues today. And today I want to share about how praying in tongues is the key to going out of the carnal service of God to the spiritual service of God. I want to explain that first, and then we'll talk more about praying in tongues. Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So here Paul explains two different type of Christians. There's spiritual people, and there are carnal people. I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So not only are the carnal, natural man, carnal man, but also he calls them babes, immature, babies that can't even talk yet. And he's not insulting them. He is clarifying where they're walking from. And many in the modern church are walking in this scenario. See, being spiritual doesn't necessarily mean spiritual experiences. Because even in the Old Testament, before they were saved, those carnal men had spiritual experiences. They felt God, they saw God, they talked to God, all while not being born again. So being a spiritual Christian does not mean someone who hears God so much as or experiences God or walks even in the anointing. That can be part of it, but that's not proof that someone's spiritual. The different class of people here are those who are spiritual. I would say those who have built up and walked and matured their spiritual man versus those who have learned to walk through God through their carnal man. And he is making an example here, saying you're carnal and you're babes. You're immature in Christ. I fed you, verse 2, I fed you with milk, not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are not able. For you're still carnal. For where there's envy, strife, division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? See, as Christians, our goal should not be to be great men using our natural ability. The whole world is built on man's ability. Man who's the loudest, the strongest, the bravest, the most charismatic usually rise to the top. And men who are quiet and shy and that they usually don't get their way. But the men who are very loud and bold and strong by their own personality, nothing from God, just from their own personality. We have a couple of puppy dogs, and you should see the different personalities. Some puppy dogs are quiet and sweet. Other puppy dogs are bold and aggressive. When someone bad walks in the room, they're supposed to attack. Well, some dogs attack, and other dogs run and hide. It's dependent on their personality. Well, the world system's built on that same authority. Whoever's the boldest, strongest, loudest, most charismatic, most talented, they rise to the top. But in God's kingdom, it's a different system, and it's a spiritual system that does with spiritual growth. Now, in the natural world, everyone's born different. We all have different heights, different shapes, different colors, and there is an unfairness in the natural world by birth, by your DNA that you got from your parents. And some people are really gifted. They're born with extra abilities, extra smart, extra talented, extra capable. They have a personality from birth. When Harrison was in Chrissy's womb, he was fighting her the whole time, pushing and driving her crazy. You ever see a pregnant woman argue with her stomach before? Well, Chrissy would argue with her stomach. Hey, stop it. Stop the pushing. Well, as soon as he was born, the old doctor came in and took him away, said, I'm going to take your son to go examine him. And when they examined him, they stretched them out and move all their joints to make sure everything's in place. He brought him back after a few minutes and handed him to Christy. Here's your son. I want you to know your boy is perfectly healthy. Everything is perfect. But I just want to warn you. And he looked at us, and especially Christy, and said, you need to get this boy on a schedule. Otherwise, he's going to run your house. And we looked at each other, and Christy had the mama, her new mama instincts took over, like, what's wrong with you, doctor? How could you say that about our new boy? He's only like an hour old. Well, he said, out of all the babies that I've inspected over the years, your boy fought me the hardest at checking him out. He has a strong will, and you better get him on a schedule. Well, see, even at birth, he had a personality the doctor could spot. They call that the CEO personality. He had it at birth. The world finds your personality trait and then finds where you belong. And that's where most people live. But praise God, you are a new creature born of God. You're not a mere man. You are a child of God. And in God's children, in God's family, every birth is equal. You didn't receive more or less than someone else. Anytime you see in church any kind of hint that someone is better or stronger or more blessed than you, has extra favor because of who they are over you, then that's a lie. You have full access to God as anyone else. No one in God's kingdom is built stronger or better or more equipped or more talented than you. You can have as much of God as you want. So from 1 Corinthians 3:1, I want us to see these two. If you underline spiritual people and then underline carnal, he's classifying two types of Christianity. One is a type where you can learn how to walk with God instantly, the moment you're saved, without maturing, and just walking with God. I call that the carnal tree of ministry. When I was younger and learning to pray in tongues, I was excited because I found tongues. Pastor Dave taught tongues, and I believed it. Something hit me. I made it my life mission to be a tongue-talking believer. I began to pray in tongues, and others wouldn't. And I remember thinking, well, those poor preachers that aren't praying in tongues as much as me. The way I looked at it is we had a tree of our callings, and I'm going to go higher than them, because I'm praying in tongues and they're not. So my tree is going to go higher than their tree. And the Lord spoke to me and said, no, it's a different tree. And I didn't quite understand it then like I do now, that there is a carnal tree of ministry where you can learn how to believe God for things, walk with God into things, and the Holy Spirit will work with you the same way he worked with the disciples before they were saved. They healed the sick. They saw miracles. God provided for them. God spoke to them. But it was through their carnal man. That's a lesser way. But there's a more excellent way for us, all the children of God, to walk with God. See, the carnal tree of ministry is built around callings. Whatever you're called to do, that's what you pursue. And you'll find that as your personality leads you, you may end up walking in a calling that God hasn't placed you in, but man placed you in. Let's say someone can sing, they have talent, and they have a beautiful voice. Many worldly successful artists today started in church. Well, the church world will see their talent and say, hey, will you sing for me? And it's beautiful. But see, that's their talent making a way for them, not necessarily God saying, now I want you to sing. How courageous is it for someone who could sing beautifully to sit down and say, I'm not going to promote myself or take promotion from man, only when God speaks to me. That takes a lot of courage or spiritual maturity. So here is a picture from 1 Corinthians 3, 1 of a carnal Christianity. And that's what was happening in this church. This is a church where the gifts of God were flowing. He says, you come behind and no gift. There was miracles. There were signs and wonders. There's a lot of prophecy and things going on in the service. But it was all out of order, and it was through the carnal man. And that's Paul's correcting them by saying, yes, there is a walk with God, and it's designed by God. That's where you find the gifts of the Spirit are for the carnal believers, because that's all the Holy Spirit can do with them. And in those incidences, he uses their calling as the authority. So an evangelist can expect the gift of miracles. A pastor can expect the gift of healings to show up only because he's in the role of a pastor or he's in the role of an evangelist. An evangelist stands in front of an unsaved person and the gift of miracles can show up because that's the gifting to go with his calling. Now, that sounds great. It sounds spiritual, but it's really from the carnal world. There's another walk. I'm calling it the tree of the walk of the Spirit. It's a fruit tree. That's where the fruit of the Spirit comes forth. You grow Christ in you. And the difference is, in the carnal tree of ministry, it's what can I do for God? And I want to be careful here, because God's pleased with anyone who does anything in the name of Jesus for Jesus. And he'll work with anyone and see people touch. But you'll be disappointed when you get to heaven, because you'll find out you won't get the reward because you never accomplished what God really wanted you to accomplish, which was to grow up like Christ. The walk of the Spirit tree is one where, by spending time doing spiritual things, praying in tongues, worshiping, meditating the Word of God, and even fasting, I am building my inner man up, the spiritual man up, and Christ is being formed in me. And see, that means that instead of me loving you with Alan's love in Jesus' name, I am loving you with the love of Christ that has been developed in me. Instead of me talking to you about Jesus, the healer, Jesus, the deliverer, I'm able to show you the Holy Spirit in all of his power, because Christ in me has developed, that love has developed in me, and the Holy Spirit can walk with me the same way he walked with Jesus. That may seem foreign to many Christians. Many Christians don't understand what I'm saying too much. But if you've been praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit will be pulling you down the same path that he's pulled many of us down. And my job is not to teach you new things and make you believe it. My job is to expose what the Holy Spirit has taught me. And it should resonate with your own spiritual man, saying, oh, that sounds like what God's been trying to get across to me. Because we really just want to bring the teaching of the Holy Spirit forward. And that's really the difference of the two trees. The carnal tree of ministry, I call it the Christmas tree. That's where you find the gifts of the Spirit. Because that's all that you get, one gift or two gifts. You don't get the entirety of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit working through you. And those gifts are limited to your calling. And what a shame, because there's a better way, a spiritual way. Look over in Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe, not those who are called, not those who are special, not those who are talented or strong or charismatic. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and they drink anything deadly. They'll by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. We call this the anointing of the believer. And what that means is there's another access to the Holy Spirit. So as ministers, you have two doorways to let the Holy Spirit work in your calling in your life. One doorway or one access the Holy Spirit has of authority in your life is the carnal tree of ministry, is through your calling. So it depends what you're called to, will depend what the Holy Spirit can do through you, because he's using your calling as the authority. Why does he have to use your calling as the authority? Because there's not enough Christ in you. There's not enough love of Christ developed in you. So he's limited by our carnality, that we're learning how to walk with God through our carnal man. And unfortunately, there's a whole religious system in Christianity that has spiritual experiences and spiritual achievements. I got so many people saved. I prophesied to so many people. They have spiritual experiences and spiritual achievements, but it's not spiritual maturity. And that is the carnal tree of ministry. And anyone in the carnal tree of ministry, you're limited by your calling. And no matter how hard you try to do better, I want to be like that man, I want to be like that man. If you stay in your carnal tree of ministry, you're always going to be under a system, under a program, under an organization that makes a way for you. It's man ruled overall. It's a carnal tree of ministry. Now, it'll get you to heaven. Everyone in that tree will get to heaven, but it will not get us to revival. Revival is a path, I believe, that is only found on the spiritual path, the walk of the spirit tree, the tree of fruit. And that is, I don't minister by Alan doing something for God. I minister by the amount of God that can come through me, the amount of Christ that can come through me. That's why the fruit of the Spirit, that's a fruit. Fruit only grows on a mature tree. Fruit of the Spirit is the love of Christ that God was able to develop in me, in my me. There's a lot of responsibility with this. You have to really come to a place of accepting this path because it's a harder path. It says, if I don't pray, if I don't seek God, then nothing's going to change. But if I call this one preacher, he says, if I just give him a donation, then God will answer my prayer. Which path do I want to go on? Well, the walk of the Spirit path, the tree of the fruit of the Spirit, is the amount of Christ that is formed in me. Jesus' love, Jesus' peace. That's the ministry that goes forward from me. In other words, when I minister from this place, the spiritual path, then people come up to me and they pick the fruit of Christ off of me, and that's their answer, that's their miracle. The authority that God uses in this path is the amount of love of Jesus that you developed in you. That's the anointing of the believer. Now, we're still supposed to fulfill our calling. An apostle is still supposed to be an apostle, but God wants to use the authority of the love of Christ developed in him so that when he ministers, whether it's from the stage or it's on the street, that the Holy Spirit in his entirety can come through him. And that's what he wants for every believer. We have many people trying to believe God for a revival with many people, the masses of preachers, Christians, the masses of Christians ministering like Christ without giving them the path of growing like Christ. And they're all going to fail and struggle. And it's really sad because many Christians have been taught, like I was in the beginning, just go out and minister. Just accept who you are. Just go out and pray for the sick. And we had some success. We found great relief in finding purpose. Purpose belongs in the carnal tree of ministry. You feel purposeful. I feel valuable to God. You're a child of God. You're valuable to him because you're born of him, not because of what you do for him. Well, I would go find purpose and go minister to people and feel good every day. It was when I began to pray in tongues that the Lord began to pull me out of that system and place me in a system of me walking with him side by side. If I were to use my famous church service that I never did, but it's a pretend service, but it's good. Let's say I'm preaching at a church and one family comes in. They drive in a Mercedes. It's a beautiful family. And he's a doctor. He's in his 50s. He's got gray hair. He's healthy. You can tell he's in shape. He's wealthy. He has his own home, his own business. He's a doctor. They come in and there's the family on the third row, and a beautiful family, husband, wife, 2.3 kids. And there they are sitting there, all dressed nice, looking good, behaved. And then also another family comes in and they bring in a guy they found on the street, a homeless guy who lives on the street, who was holding up a sign. They said, hey, I'll buy you lunch if you'll come to church. So he says, okay, so they bring him in the church and he's sitting over the opposite of the doctor. Now, both men, the doctor who's in his 50s, is not saved. And this homeless guy who's in his 50s is not saved. Homeless guy doesn't have his hair, losing a lot of teeth. He's out of shape. He hasn't showered for a long time. He's obviously homeless. And he's sitting over there waiting for me to finish preaching so he can get his lunch. Well, both men are not saved. One is successful, one is not. They're both going to go to hell. And I preach this incredible, wonderful sermon. Like, wow, that was so good on hell. And both men come up to the altar to be born again. There's the doctor. There's the homeless man. And they're standing there, same age, different lifestyles. And I talk to them about salvation. They both get born again. Now, scripturally, if I looked at them in the spirit, I would see that there on the floor was two newborn babies. That's their spiritual man. See, that's the inner man. There'd be two newborn babies. They know nothing. They have to develop and grow that inner man up. They have to educate that spiritual man or renew that spiritual baby in knowledge and have the emotions of Christ develop in it. Now, if I look on the outside of their outward man, nothing's changed. They both look the same. They have the same, sometimes the same desires for sin, the same appetites. But if I look on the inward, they're both brand new. This is the first moment in all 50 years that either of them have tasted life. This is the first time they've seen real light and the first time they experienced and breathed love in. They never experienced any of those things before because they've been of this world. Every bad thing, every hard thing the homeless guy went through is of this world. Every good thing, every good thought, every good habit the doctor developed in his life also is of this world of darkness. But their inner man is now like a newborn baby. And now, this is the difference between the carnal tree of ministry and the spiritual tree of ministry, or the walk of the spirit tree of ministry, is if I were to say to the church, hey, church, praise God, we got two people saved. Thank you, homeless man. God bless you. Doctor, before you're seated, hey, I have a question. Now, you walk in prosperity. Your home is in order. Your family's in order. You're obviously healthy. Hey, can you come up here real quick, take the microphone, and will you share some of your wisdom on how we as a church can walk in, because many in the church here are believing God for health and prosperity and a healthy family. And will you please teach us some of your principles? See, that's the carnal tree of ministry. What can I do from who I am in the carnal man, from my personality in the carnal man, in the name of Christ? Now, he's just saved, and now I'm asking him for his opinion because he has more good than bad in his life. But it's still carnal. Now, the walk of the spirit tree ministry means I focus on that little child that's in him. That's his spirit man. It is empty in knowledge. He has the mind of Christ, but it's blank. It must develop and grow. And it only grows on things that come from God. The thing about your spiritual man, it only grows from the things that come and originated from God. Nothing from this earth is in the spiritual man. So where do I find truth to educate? Well, the Word of God is one thing, but the other thing is the Holy Spirit being your teacher. The Holy Spirit teaching you the Word of God. He teaches you spirit to spirit. It means he bypasses the carnal man and he speaks to your spiritual man. Now, it may seem like a long time at first when you start praying in tongues. Like, when are things going to change? But that spiritual man is growing and maturing, and eventually the wisdom of God in the inner man will outshine the wisdom of man in the carnal man. And that's when you'll get to mortify that thought of the carnal man, the way you think about yourself. Many Christians will spend their whole life serving their outward man in the name of God. They're walking through the carnal man and doing good things for God. And that's why many messages have been developed to appease the carnal man. And it makes sense, it makes complete sense in the carnal man. But as your spiritual man grows, what makes sense to the spiritual man is foolishness to the outside man, because it doesn't make sense. And that's why when you're praying in tongues after a while, those in the carnal tree of ministry will look at you like you're the oddball. But truthfully, they're the oddballs. You want to grow in God and follow God. The ministry of the walk of the spirit tree is not what can I do to help God. It's how much of God can I develop in me. How much of that love of Christ, how much of the joy and peace of Christ can I have forward? Because when that love of God develops in me, that's the more excellent way. That's the anointing of the believer. That means that every believer, no matter their calling, has access to the entirety of the person of the Holy Spirit and all of his power. You don't need a gift for deliverance. You don't need a gift of wisdom. You have him, the Holy Spirit, right there, and he's all in all. But he cannot come through the carnal tree of ministry. That's why he has to use their calling as the authority and give them gifts. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter, we'll just start in verse 14 for time's sake here. We may go back to 12 a little bit. Verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So we know that this is talking about your personal prayer language. And that every moment, every syllable you pray in that unknown heavenly language, you're praying mysteries, revelation, secrets from God being deposited into your spiritual man, leaving your outward man, your outward mind, your carnal mind unfruitful. Now look at verse 3. But he who prophesies, prophesying means God is speaking his words through me. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to man. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So we can see here the whole goal of this chapter and these verses are edification. If you're going to edify yourself, you should pray in tongues. Edify, we learned before, means to build a house. It's a building block. It's not charming people or making people feel loved or getting people excited or motivating people. It's not even encouraging people. You're the best. God loves you. A lot of churches are in that mode of just encouraging people. Every day they come feeling defeated and they encourage them. God loves you. You're the best. And that's okay, but the edification means you're building up that inner man with the truth and knowledge that comes from God. You become different every day. You're a different person. You're stronger. You're more mature. You're more victorious because Christ is being built, edified, built in you. This is a building block. It's not an encouragement. It's a building block, an equipping to do what God wants for you to do. For he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, this is important where I'm going today. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So if you want to edify other people, like a church, then prophecy is king. If you want to edify yourself, speaking in your heavenly language is king. I wish you all, verse 5, well, look at the end of verse 5, that the church may receive edification. So for the church to receive edification, then we read the beginning of verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he interprets, and the church may receive edification. So in the case of edifying the church, then prophesying and speaking for God is more important than your personal prayer language to others. But the picture here is more than that. It's also that, how are you going to edify the church with something you don't have? Think about that. If I want to edify the church to walk in the blessings of God, to walk in the healing of God, from God, I can't just take a doctor who just got saved, who walks in those things from his natural man and his natural ability and from the wisdom of this world, because then you're not being edified with things from God. You're being edified from things of this world. And that's not real edification. That's fake edification. Do you think God wants to edify the world with carnal thoughts, carnal wisdom? Or do you think he wants you to edify the church with his wisdom, with his knowledge, with his love? See, the walk of the Spirit tree is all about Jesus being established in you, and that establishment, that edification, being God using it to minister to others. Not about Alan trying to win people over and do things. That's a good start. Now, we should all start in that carnal, because that's all we have. So the moment you're saved, you want to start listening to God. You can share your testimony. You want to witness to whoever God tells you to. Even pray if you feel God tells you to. But you don't want to live there, because if you live there, then what happens is the people who have the most ability, the most charismatic, a lot of guys who are evangelists amaze me. I was invited to go evangelize Penn State University one time. I took a bunch of students up there. And if you know me, I'm very private. My personality is very much, you know, not interested in bothering others unless I'm invited in. And that's my personality. Well, evangelism on Penn State University is shocking people, trying to get their attention. There was one guy called the Willowed Preacher, and that's a building on Penn State University, and a willowed building. And there's been a preacher standing there with a microphone and a speaker preaching for 50 years. And they just, every time one retires, they get another one. And all these men are bold people. And they stand out there. And this guy was standing out there trying to get students who are going from class to class, trying to get their attention, so he can shock them into Christ. And God bless them. There's a great need for that. Well, his MO was insulting the students. You're all going to hell. Come get your going to hell Bible. You're adulterer. You whoremonger, you. And he was surrounded by 20, 30 students. They were screaming at him. He was screaming at them, trying to get their attention. That's part of his personality. He would be a great salesman if he wasn't a full-time evangelist on the campus of Penn State University. See, if you only allow God to work through your personality of your natural man, you're going to limit him. You'll be limited, and you'll find that you'll never be able to rise up to the standard of other people. But if you learn to walk in the Spirit and let that inner man grow, that inner man is birthed of God. And it is the same class, the same standard, the same strength as any other believer, no matter what their calling is. And that is the walk of the Spirit that he wants to walk through. So when you read here about edifying the church, my question to you is, what does God want to edify the church with? Your wisdom? Your revelation that you got in your carnal mind? I remember years ago hearing a preacher say, God does not care about your opinions. Your opinions don't matter to God. And it made sense. Many of us have our opinions about what the word means and what's right, what's wrong. Just watch social media today and watch the preachers fight. There's some preachers hilariously don't believe in God speaking nowadays and don't believe in the apostle or prophet positions in the church. And so they make fun of anything that anytime a preacher says, God told me, they laugh. That's not God. They're going to hell. Those preachers, everyone's sending everyone to hell. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You don't need to listen to all the just listen to the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. Not all of us crazy preachers. Verse 5. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So the goal here is not about you being promoted, not about you being given purpose. It's about the church, others being edified. And my question is, what does God want to edify the church with? Your wisdom, your natural ability, your natural talent, your natural charisma in the name of God, or with something that came from God to you and then was given to the church. See, that's the prophecy. We'll read on, verse 6. But now, brethren, I come to you speaking with tongues. If I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by, now look at this, revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or teaching. So if I come to you and spend an hour just speaking in my heavenly language, I'm not helping you. I'm not edifying you. I'm only edifying myself. Unless I speak to you either by revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or by teaching. See, those are four things that come from you spending time praying in tongues. If I spend time praying in tongues, then I'll be able to have revelation because I edified myself. That's the edification that God wants to use to edify others. By knowledge, that's knowledge of God, not some doctor saying, well, I learned in medical school that if you want to be healed, and you know, he can give some good practical advice, but that's not the same world as the world of light, the world of righteousness, the world of God. The world of man is a lesser world than the world of God. It's a lesser wisdom. It's a foolishness. The wisdom of God is foolishness to the carnal man. It does not make sense. The carnal man that you're wearing, this outward body, is desperate for God to accept it. God's not the father to your outward man, so he'll never accept your outward man. He's not trying to renew it, to fix it, educate it. He's trying to get you to mortify that outward man, to make it be just a vessel. Your body needs to be just a vehicle that allows you to stay on this earth. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is not supposed to lead you or guide you anymore, but you're wearing an outward man with an outward mind, will, and emotions that's trying to drive you, direct you in life, and even how to serve God. And the moment you start spending time praying in tongues, you will have a fight. The inner man and the outward man, the flesh and the spirit, will fight against each other. The flesh lusts against the spirit. It doesn't like the inner man leading it. It wants to lead. It wants to drive. And you have to decide, am I going to be a man of the spirit? And am I going to serve God through my inner man? Or am I going to serve God through my carnal man and not have to lay down, not have to mortify it? So when I spend time praying in tongues, look at what the fruit that comes forward is. I speak to you by either revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or teaching. That is some of the fruit of you praying in tongues. I'm an old preacher. I may not look that old, but I'm an old-time preacher. And I've been in a lot of preacher wars where people come against what I teach and try to unteach me, or usually they don't come against me personally. They come to the people who are listening to me, and they get behind when I'm not around, say, no, he's preaching different, he's preaching wrong. And they begin to try to lead them away from the path of praying in tongues, the path of truth. I've been around a lot of preachers, and there's a lot of good preaching, but it's from their carnal mind. They interpret the word through their natural ability, and that's not possible. Your natural man can never understand the word of God. The disciples could not understand the truth that Jesus was teaching until after they were born again and the Holy Spirit retaught them, because they became born of God. Verse 6 again. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? God wants to edify the people in your life by him in you. The him in you is what you developed by spending time growing that inner man. That's what's going to be used to edify other people. Listen, there's a great future ahead of you. Nothing's impossible on this path. Let's keep pressing into God. Let's keep believing God. Let's keep praying in tongues. Let's edify our inner man, so then God can edify others with the fruit of that. I love you, and thank you for spending time with me. I'll see you soon. God bless.